not going to go until my commander period is where we go.
Good morning and welcome to the regular Board of Directors meeting of the Harris Galveston Subsidence District. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2025, and it's just after 10 a.m. in the morning. Thank you all for being here on this winter day. And we have a pretty light agenda, so I appreciate everybody coming out for this. If you would first join me for the pledge of the flags. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our next item on our agenda is to accept comments from members of the public. Not seeing any public in the audience. But if anybody would like to make comment, this is the opportunity to do so. And we don't have anybody signed up, right? All right, then moving on. We have item three, approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting held on December 11th, 2024.
Move to approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion needed on those minutes?
Ask a question.
Sure.
Every once in a while I see Mr. Smith is now present. And I can't really tell, does that mean he's just coming into the meeting or that he's just been away for a minute?
Both. Could be both. So if a director comes, arrives at the meeting after the meeting started, then it'll say that director is not present. If a director leaves during the meeting and then comes back, they'll say they'll be in there that director has left, and then they'll say the director is not present. That way we can keep an accurate track on who was there for whatever vote was taken.
Well, I didn't see such and such director has now left. I just see director is now present.
That just means they were late.
Yeah, I think it's in the, it might be in the text of the
previous. Well, in this case, it was me, and
yeah.
I wasn't late.
Yeah.
And I just stepped out for a minute, and I came right back.
Yeah, on number at the end of item nine, it says Mr. Johnson was not present for the vote on this item. It's
And that probably is what, you know, if you put the rest of it on there, it was, you know, would be good.
And that's what it says on item nine. So it says that you weren't present for nine, but you were there for eight. You're back now before 10. So
okay.
So it's just trying to lay out the timeline of when you were in the room and when you weren't, as it relates to the votes.
Cool. I'm good with that. I understand. I didn't see the comment above that. And thanks for clarifying that for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Elizabeth.
All right. Any other questions, comments, discussion needed? Then I'll call for the vote. All in favor of approving the minutes of our regular board meeting held on December 11th, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item four, receive our hearing examiner's report and consider granting, denying, or amending applications for water well permits heard in December 2024 or prior. Madam Trustee.
Good morning. Board, we have prepared the report, the recommendations for those persons who made applications for permits for water wells or where there have been requests for modifications or cancellations of current permits. We have one permit recommendation that was not in the book as far as a recommendation. That is for Terry George. She has well number 16638. The recommendation was not there because the fee and application had not been submitted prior to the report being printed. It is a well that's currently permitted for 0.3 million gallons, which is an extended period. The recommendation is that the board issue a permit for 0.2 million gallons, which would be the 12-month term. It is in regulatory area number two, and there's no alternative water available. Any questions concerning this recommendation? As far as the new wells for this report, there are actually recommendations for permits, new permits for 11 wells. Actually, seven of them have already been listed in previous reports as emergencies. The only four that are actually permits for new wells that are Kelvin Dixon and Regulatory Area Number 3.9 million gallons. It will support a temporary voting trailer. Well number 11611622 for Harris County Mud 578, public supply 16 inch well. Then we have James Construction Group. It's for a concrete plant. Allocation is 3.5 million gallons. And Quadvest LP, well number 16886 in Regulatory Area 3. It's in the North Harris County Regional Water District, so it's public supply also. So out of these 11 wells, only all are in Regulatory Area 3 except for the James Construction, which is in Area 1. And also Marsh Branch, which is in Area 2. Are there any questions, or would you like any additional information on the new wells?
Questions from board members?
Got a question. So, Mike, is this regarding, I can't hear very well, so I apologize. Is this, she going over the Southwest shipyard?
We're gonna do that in the next agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Chairman, move for approval.
Second. We have a motion and a second. I guess I'll first ask, does anybody need to abstain from anything in the report?
I do. There are three that have to do with Murph. So.
Murph Farms? Yeah, all right.
Harris County Mud 441.
All right. Any other abstentions to note? Then any discussion, questions, comments? Then I'll call for the vote. All in favor of approving the report with the abstentions noted, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item five, then, we have consider emergency permits reviewed by the general manager. Not an action item per se, but an opportunity for anyone to have questions regarding the emergency permit issued over the last month. Any questions on these items?
Yeah, Chair. And Mike, can you give us more information on the Southwest Shipyard of what their location is?
Yeah. Veronica, could you bring up the map? And this is a replacement of a well that's failed. Recollection of the permit is unchanged as far as amount, but there's no alternative water available at the site. But Veronica, if you have additional information, please feel free to.
And then how will you verify that there is no more, there isn't any additional water available?
Go ahead.
We look to see if there is any alternative water available, any water lines in the area. We do this every time we look at a well, at any well that is currently not on alternative water. So we look at our maps and we look at anything that is surrounding that area, any water providers, to verify that there's not any alternative water. So there's not any alternative water for this particular site.
Staff is always doing due diligence. We're not just taking their word.
Absolutely, okay, yes. Perfect. On every, and this is emergencies, and every year when we're looking at renewals, we're doing that assessment as well.
All right. Any other questions? Okay, moving right along. Item six, our general manager's report. Mike, what do you have for us?
Well, happy New Year to everyone. It's a cold start to the year, and really, as far as the timing of board meetings, about the earliest board meeting we could have in January. I don't know if that has anything to do with the weather, but appreciate everybody being here today. I do want to mention that, like I had kind of dropped a little bit of information on this last year, but the district is going to be presented with the Blue Legacy Award at the Texas Water Conservation Advisory Council's part of the Water Development Board's Water for Texas meeting here in the middle of January. This conference is a conference that's held every other year. It coincides with the legislative session, and it's a conference that's attended by water professionals, policymakers throughout the state. So the Blue Legacy Award is just another accolade for our water conservation program and the way that we're communicating and educating the folks on being more efficient with their water. So it's great to be recognized and great that staff is recognized for their hard work. So one more award to add to the shelf on a year that was full of that. That's great. The legislative session begins January 14th, so we'll be we're already obviously working on that, but it'll really start to be more upfront on the news probably starting on the 14th. Greg's going to talk more about some of the things that have happened so far over the break related to the legislative session. And we are currently reminding and working with our permittees that all permittees are required by January 31st to submit their annual water usage, their groundwater usage as part of the annual report process. So those letters and notifications went out in December. We've already started getting information back from permittees, most lot through our portal and online, which is something that we've added here over the last couple of years, and that's really helped us get information and made it easier for permittees to get information into us. So that's working out great, and staff this becomes a very from an administrative perspective, this is a all hands on deck type time of year for us as we get all this information in. We review the annual reports. We check those reports based on previous submissions to make sure that there aren't any typos or misreading of meters, and quality assure that data the best we can so that we include that in our annual report. So that's where we're at on that. Otherwise, between the last board meeting and this one, we had the Christmas break and the New Year's break, so things not a whole lot happened over the break, other than the Representative Ollerson refiled the bill for the North Harris County Regional Water Authority that carved them out of the district. Although one of the North Harris County Regional Water Authority's directors said that me calling that a carve out was inappropriate and not accurate. Seems like a carve out to me, so unless Greg wants to correct my vernacular there, that's the way I'm going to talk about it.
And so what word did they suggest we use?
He didn't give me an alternative.
Plucked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excise, plucked a good one, I don't know.
Secession.
A reprieve from tyranny.
Yeah. It's their, but it's the same exact bill. Word for word, and based on their meeting on Monday, it does seem like there was a discussion had by at least one of their directors in Oliverson to have that bill refiled. But that audio will be available on their website. If you're interested, you can listen to it. We've been out talking to folks in Austin about that and revisiting with them what we told them last year about. The challenges that bill would bring to the region, and certainly how that would prevent the ability to prevent subsidence in that area, amongst a lot of other things. So that's out there, and we can certainly answer questions about that. The other thing that I included in the GM report, really just to see if you had wanted to provide some feedback, and honestly, this is something that can be done outside of the meeting. But I included a list of basically the strategic goals I use as the basis for the vision and direction and the direction that the district goes. And I've laid those out for you here, and they are at a fairly high. They're not in the weeds, you know. They're broad, but essentially, you know, our primary mission is to ensure the effective management of the groundwater resource to prevent subsidence, and then everything else kind of falls underneath that. Identifying research and water management strategies, developing our employees to be community focused, but focused on the mission of the district, engaging and developing cooperation between local, state, regional, federal partners to help answer these questions and develop effective and reasonable regulations, educate, increase awareness, and make sure that we can hit multiple audiences, multiple different types of audiences, and by that I mean not just technical, not just non-technical, not just the normal folks that hear our message, but folks that just have no clue of the issue or the role that we play. And I think you've seen us over the last few years really take a broad step into doing that, and it's been really productive. And then through all of that, maintain the ability for the district to do its work by being fiscally responsible and having stability in our finances so that we can provide the level of service that this community expects. So I have that in there, and certainly if you have any thoughts or comments on that, feel free to reach out to me and give me a call, or we can talk about it a bit. We do have a lunch and learn at the Capitol in February, and we're planning on that. It's going to be, we've had it before. I remember last session we had one scheduled, and it was had to cancel it because of an ice storm. This time it's a little bit later in February, and
it's not on our list.
I think I have it on the list. But Casey, what's the date on? February 20th. Thank you. Yeah. So it's beyond the bottom of the list. February 20th at noon at the Capitol. And for those types of things, what happens is we invite staffers and legislators to come in and learn more about subsidence and water management in particular in our area. Our governmental affairs team will give a little bit of information to the group that shows up, and then I'll give a talk about. Talk that you've seen several times. Really, in this case, it'll probably look a lot like the video that we have out there. And then we'll answer questions. So it's really just a way for us to get a lot of folks in the room and provide education across the Capitol. Considering there's so many new faces at the Capitol, this will be a really good year to do that.
Mike, what day is that, Mike?
February 20th.
8 in the morning, 9 in the morning?
It's at noon.
Sorry. Thank you.
There might be barbecue. Our board members are allowed to.
Will be, okay.
Board members are allowed to attend, or
sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It'll be if you're in the area, you know, yeah, feel free to come in. But it'll be in Austin.
Did you say if the North Regional Water Authority took a vote on that carve out or bill or whatever they're calling it?
They did not take a vote. They had an agenda item to discuss whether or not they were going to support or not support, or ask Oliver Sim to pull it back. They had a discussion, and I'll let everybody listen to it for themselves, but my impression from that discussion is that they're not aligned on that board of what they think is the appropriate action. So it was tabled and tabled to the next board meeting.
So how many representatives are there that represent the area within the north?
They have five directors.
No, I'm talking about their state representatives.
Oh, state representatives. They have, three senators that have pieces of the authority, and then six, what's that?
Six
house members.
And have we gotten any indication that anybody else supports this bill?
No.
Well, maybe they should just go to Montgomery County then.
Well, I think if they had that choice, they probably would.
But that sounds like progress then. There's some, if at least a few of them are not in sync with that, then isn't that progress?
It's hard to tell because the last time this went, so if we want to roll ourselves back to 2 years ago, the bill was filed and none of the other board members knew that it was going to be filed. So I don't know that anything's really changed amongst the the demeanor there? Like the person that Mark Ramsey is the director that had it filed last time through Oliverson. It sounds like based on the discussion at the board meeting on Monday that was the same thing that happened. But the other directors, I don't see that any of the other directors have changed their position on it. So we'll have to wait and see. Like, no one. I guess the bottom line is I didn't hear anybody in the on the audio of the meeting come out and say that they were 100% against it. We're going to vote to not support it. But,
and so, what would the process be for that to ever get a vote on the floor?
It would go through. So it would have to go through the committee hearing. So it'd be assigned to a committee, probably Natural Resources on the House side. It would be heard at a committee. It would have to get out of the committee and then go for a House floor vote. And it would have to come around to the Senate. It doesn't at this time. It doesn't have a Senate companion, so it wouldn't be able to work both ways on that. Right,
Greg. Does that bill have to go to a calendar committee then?
Okay, what's the question?
Does it have to go to the calendar committee first, then go to a committee? Is that a hurdle that they have to go through?
Typically, yes. The typical process is it has to be heard by the subject matter committee. Once it's voted out of that, it goes to the calendars committee. Calendar sets it on a calendar. It has to be heard by the full House, and then it goes over to the Senate. Now, I'm saying that with full knowledge that right now we don't have any House rules. We don't even have a speaker. So whatever speaker candidate finally claims victory is going to be redrafting some of those rules, and we'll see what happens.
But that's normal. That's the normal process, correct?
Yes.
That's the process we've had in the past, I guess.
Yeah. Part of the contention is that if we have members of both parties serving on the as committee chairs, that they can block legislation important to the Republican majority. So it's very possible that this set of rules that they come out will have a way for the majority to recall a bill from a committee that they can't get past that particular committee chairman. But, you know, all at this point, it's all speculation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just following up on what Mike said about the strategic goals, I asked him to prepare the draft to get passed out to everybody. I'll be putting an agenda item on the next board meeting so we can actually, discuss and vote on as necessary those goals. But so please do take a look at these between now and the next board meeting. And, if you have comments, suggestions, please send them in. You can send them to Mike and we can really have a full discussion on it in February. Any other questions for Mike? Okay. All right. That then takes us to item 7, our consultation with our general counsel.
Good to see you.
I'm not going to take up too much of your time. Not a lot's happened since the last board meeting in December. We have several cases pending before the Texas Supreme Court. We have a couple of federal cases out there. Nothing in either of those cases moved in the last month. So rather than cover that, I want to talk about the legislative side. As I just mentioned, we still don't have a speaker. There are two main candidates. Neither one can claim the 76 votes they need to become speaker at this point. Dustin Burroughs, the member from the Panhandle, last session, he carried a bill that was labeled the Death Star Bill, and it has to do with prohibiting local governments, primarily cities, from adopting regulations that are more stringent than those standards set by state agencies. As a result of that, a number of Democrats are refusing to support him for speaker, and a lot of the analysis, the news analysis I've seen on this is labeling him as the leader of the moderate faction. I don't think it's very moderate to file a Death Star bill, so I think that's inaccurate. I don't think that's a good analysis. The way I see this is more a rural Republican versus urban and suburban Republican versus the Democrats who are primarily urban. And the rural areas are finding that a lot of the policies that the main part of the Republican Party is pushing in the legislature are aimed at trying to control what's happening in the cities that are primarily controlled by Democratic policies, Democratic leaders. And in doing that, they're kind of splashing over into those rural areas, and those rural areas don't like that. They don't want Austin telling them what to do. You know, part of the rallying cry to elect Republicans 25 years ago was Austin doesn't know best. We should have local control. Well, that's kind of, they completely flipped the script on that. Representative David Cook, who's from the Fort Worth area, is the chosen candidate of the Republican caucus, but still doesn't have enough votes. He's got roughly 56 votes right now, as we counted. So it's going to be interesting first day. We may not come out with a speaker following the first day. We've had a couple of members, Gary Gates, chief among them, from the Fort Worth area, I'm sorry, from the Fort Bend area, who is calling for a third candidate, because that'll clear things up, you know. So it's going to be an interesting time. We also have the chairman of the Republican Party and Attorney General Ken Paxton, who have gone out, started a tour around the state between now and next Tuesday to go into those Republican areas where they're supporting boroughs and trying to get their constituents to convince them that they need to flip their vote over to Representative Cook. And while that might work in some states, I don't see that Texas elected officials responding to pressure that way. That usually when you push a Texas politician like that, he gets his back up and he entrenches his position. That certainly was the position of Cody Harris, who said, you know, if you think you can defeat me in the primary, bring it. The Republican chairman then announced that he may be trying to pass statewide rules for the Republican Party that if you don't support the Republican caucus candidate, you can't qualify to be in a Republican primary. So, you know, once again, democracy wins out. So it's going to be interesting session, to say the least. And as a result of that, I think what we're going to see that the lieutenant governor and the Senate are going to dominate Texas politics through the next session. We'll see that they're going to be passing most of the great weight of the bills and then do what they can to get them through the dysfunctional House. So it's probably good news for Lieutenant Governor Patrick more than anybody else that the House is in such disarray. But we'll see. I haven't seen this type of discord in the House since Representative Craddock was Speaker. And they had they literally had a coup that occurred there. So we'll see what happens with it. If the Democrats can unify behind a candidate, that's the candidate that's going to win, in my opinion. Both candidates have enough Republican votes to win if they get the vast majority, if not all, of the Democrat votes. And so it puts the Democrats in a unique position of being able to pick the next speaker. So we'll see what happens with that. There are already about a dozen groundwater bills that have been filed, and many either Chapter 36 or other taking up groundwater issues. There's also, excuse me. There's also a number of bills filed aimed at local government. For example, there's a bill out saying that in order to adopt a budget, you have to have a two-third majority of your membership has to be present to vote, and it takes a two-third majority to adopt that budget. That would be an amendment to the Open Meetings Act. Of course, Senator Middleton's bill on anti-lobbying bill has been refiled, both in the House and the Senate. So there are lots of bills out there that are going to affect operations of local governments that right now, I think, until the House gets its stuff together, it's impossible to say what's likely to pass, what's not likely to pass. I can't tell you who's going to be on the House Natural Resources Committee until we have a chairman. Can't tell you who the chairman's going to be until we have a speaker. And I've got no idea who the speaker's going to be. So that really concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions on that.
I will just add, I've had a couple meetings with Senator Cook, who took over for Mr. Whitmire's district, and lot of discussion about, not just with that particular meeting, but with the meetings that I've heard about with others, about the water infrastructure bill that Perry's still putting together. There's not a whole lot of clarity on what that's going to look like just yet, but they're talking about that. And in particular, in our area, the discussion's about alternative water for new development. So they're talking about those things, and we're providing information to them, and just want to make you aware of that if it comes up in your discussions. Those areas that we're focused on for alternative water supplies in new development areas are Northeast Harris County, and then ultimately down the road, Northwest Harris County. But Northeast Harris County is the front line right now. That's all I have.
Greg, is there a deadline when the speaker issue has to be resolved by?
Greg is shaking his head no for the record.
But they have to pass the budget at some point. They have to pass the budget at some point. It's only required when they have to pass, right? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Any other questions for Greg?
Well, is your voice good enough to talk a little bit? Because I wanted to ask if you could clarify. I had heard that in the caucus meetings, when everybody initially came together on the Republican side, that there was quite a bit of contention. Some harsh words were said, and some of the boroughs people, a good number of them, took offense to that and walked out, which then allowed the Cook people to be able to come up with the numbers they needed to get the vote through to back Cook, but it was without the boroughs people.
That's right.
So, was that really a valid vote or not?
Well, it was valid in that it met the rules of the Republican caucus about how many votes you needed to have, but
or the percentage you needed.
I'm not sure how far any party can get by expelling a bunch of its members. You know, it's a crazy time that A, you think you can get what you want by threatening people, and B, that you can get where you need to be by completely discounting what the other side wants and ignoring what they're saying and having them walk out of the meeting. That wasn't great that they walked out of the meeting. That's not very effective either. I mean, obviously that resulted in Cook getting the caucus nomination. But at the same time, that you're right, that nomination without all 81 members there ready to support the final candidate was clearly meaningless. So that's where things stand.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Then I don't believe there's any reason for an executive session today. Is there, Mike?
No, there is not.
Then that takes us to the end of our agenda. Thank you all for being here. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.